Inside Sports Medicine with Dr. T.O. Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Dr. Soriao's comments are meant for informational and educational purposes only and not as a treatment. His comments are not a substitute for a visit with your doctor. And now, Dr. T.O. Soriao.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine.
Man, if they were watching Facebook, they got a little nice little cool in-service on some cool stuff that we're going to be doing.
Yeah, you know, so...
And we like that stuff because we're nerdy.
You're nerdy.
I am nerdy.
I like the fact that you are pushing the Facebook Live thing because that's your generation.
That's right.
But what you're doing is you're irritating the people my generation who are just listening on their radio.
Well, it's not just. They're the core of Inside Sports Medicine.
The core, yeah. They're like 100-to-1 ratio. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. We could not be prouder that you are with us today and most every Saturday. We have a very loyal following, and I am very humbled by that. Week in, week out, when someone says, hey, I listen to you on the radio, I'm humbled every time I hear that. And so thank you for listening and spending your Saturday morning with us. Hopefully you're getting some decent information and a little bit of entertainment. Let's go to Kurt. Good morning, Kurt from Houston. What's up?
Good morning. I'm actually glad you mentioned the Facebook thing because I didn't know. I'm actually headed to the airport back to Houston, and I just happened to be in DFW, and I hadn't heard you guys in years.
Wow.
So I'll start watching on Facebook now.
Excellent.
Quick question about a total knee replacement, and I used to be a patient of yours years ago after I got out of the military, Dr. Soriao. I had a total knee replacement done November of last year. That total knee replacement went bad once I was released from the VA hospital because it took them 2 weeks to get my home physical therapy set up. So the scar tissue and set in pretty quickly. Had an MUA done 3 months after that.
Let's make sure people know what that means. Let's make sure people know what MUA means.
Sure.
Manipulation under anesthesia, MUA.
Yes.
So your knee was
yes.
stiff because you didn't start rehab. So you had a procedure when they put you to sleep and just by brute force basically moved your knee around.
Yes.
Okay. So you had an MUA. Yep.
It helped a little bit, but still the stiffness that I had stiffness I didn't have before. So my question is now, I'm a year in, a lot of stiffness, some pain. What options do I have now?
Not very good. So this is the problem. This is one of the problems with joint replacement.
I'm only 45.
I knew that. So one of the more common questions that we get, and believe it or not, we're in the sports medicine world, but we know a lot about joint replacement because there are lots of athletes just like you who may have had a high school injury or may have had a college injury, and then next thing you know, they're 45 and they're arthritic, and they're candidates for replacements. So we have taken a very conservative approach as to when to offer a joint replacement for someone who's young and is post-athletic. And so you have to go through this checklist. You know, have you done anti-inflammatories? Check. Have you done bracing? Check. Have you done physical therapy? Check. And then ultimately, if none of that stuff works, and I'm going to let Ballard talk about the regenerative stuff, some of this new stuff that's available for arthritics as well. And then you end up having a knee replacement. Most people think, well, you don't want to have a knee replacement when you're young because it may not last. Well, that part is true. Yeah, it may last 10 to 15 years, but if you're young and you're really active and you're going to the store and you're playing tennis and whatever, it may not last 15 years. Mm-hmm. But in addition, if your expectations are much, much higher if you're younger and having a knee replacement. if you're my mother and she's 85, all she wants is for the pain to go away.
Right.
So a knee replacement for an 85-year-old is different expectations than a knee replacement for a young guy. And then once you have a complication like what you described, arthrofibrosis, which is stiffness and scar tissue, it's I'm not going to say it's impossible to overcome that, but it's very difficult to overcome that. If you've not worked with a therapist, go back to therapy.
Yeah. Yeah, you make a good point, Doc, is that which I never really considered as much as the expectation for someone who's younger on the knee replacement side than someone who is older, because it's right. They have their other knee to you know, if that knee isn't arthritic to compare to. And so the idea is that, you know, I'm looking to get back to, yeah, you know, where I was in my 30s. Whereas the 75, 80-year-old person who's relatively active and this is really stopping them, and they want to just be able to kind of walk around the block a couple times.
Yep, just want to walk to the grocery store.
Yeah, so and then the other thing is, you know, you can never predict who these complications happen to.
Yep.
You just can't. And so you know, part of that is probably being unlucky as well.
I'm going to tell you, you've got options. And I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, it's fine.
I was thinking about going to David. You've got options. If you haven't done physical therapy, do physical therapy. If you haven't gotten a second opinion, get a second opinion. Make sure that the knee, the joint is put in there correctly, right, and is in optimal position. And you've got options. It's not hopeless, but you need to pursue it.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
All right.
And this is why we try to do everything
exactly
that we can. You know, we're on the pre-surgery side of knee replacement.
Yep.
In the sports medicine world, that's what we do. We're on the pre-surgery side of that, meaning we're trying to extend it. We're trying to make sure that you don't have to have surgery unless it is absolutely time. You mentioned you got to do everything. I mean, you got to do the anti-inflammatories. You got to do the injections, the bracing, you know, modifying some of your activity. You talked about some of the regenerative medicine stuff between PRP and stem cell that we're doing, which is really, if you think about it, we're trying to win the war in the knee.
Yeah.
It's a losing battle for someone who has arthritis in the knee. They're losing the war in the knee. The inflammatory cells in the knee are winning more than what you have to try and stop the inflammation. And so we use all these things to try and help win the war.
And Brad, you brought up a really good point that we're exposed to, whereas the joint replacement docs are not necessarily exposed to. We see the post-traumatic arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
So we see an athlete who blew out his knee in high school, and now he's 40.
Yep.
And that knee's arthritic, but mm-hmm. the other knee's fine.
Yep.
So they have a controlled study. They know what it's supposed to feel like.
That's right.
The vast majority of the joint replacement docs who see the Medicare patients, like my mom,
mm-hmm.
who are 85 years old and have, you know, osteoarthritis as a result of being 85 years old.
That's right.
It's both knees.
Yeah, both.
It's
yep.
both knees. It's both hips. She doesn't have really anything to compare to.
That's right.
So the advantage that we have is that, yeah, you know, I want it to feel like that knee. Well, we can't really feel like that knee. But the answer, and this has been philosophical from day one in my practice, again, it's people kind of scratch their head when I tell them, yeah, I'm very familiar with arthritis, because we see it.
Yes.
You know, we see guys who are bone on bone who are trying to run up and down the basketball court in the NBA.
Yes.
You know, Nick Van Exel, and I'm not breaking any kind of HIPAA rule here. Nick Van Exel, his knee looked hard. It looked worse than my mother's.
Wow.
But he was running up and down the court.
Right.
So we have to know how to deal with arthritis, and we can't tell a Nick Van Exel, hey, dude, you're going to have a knee replacement. If you say that, career's over.
Yeah, and so here is when you really get down to the custom type of model, being able to see someone, you know, and they tell you specifically what's going on. Because if you just look at an X-ray, you say, oh my gosh, you're going to need a knee replacement because you see some arthritis.
You're bone on bone.
It's bone on bone. There's a difference between a hot knee,
yeah,
a hot arthritic knee, and a knee that, meaning it's, I mean, it's swollen, you can barely walk, compared to the guy who's got arthritis and like, yeah, it's just a little sore.
I take Advil.
I take Advil every now and then to deal with some of the, you know, like, those are two different things. And for the guy who's just like, look, man, my, you know, I started noticing, my, you know, some of this knee pain, he's 48, you get an x-ray, you see some arthritis, that's not, you know, they may not have to get surgery in the future. They really may not.
And I always tell my patients, you know, I don't care how bad your x-ray looks. It's your symptoms that matter. Where I'm not treating the x-ray. I'm treating your symptoms. But again, the advantage that you have, Brad, is that this wide array of treatment options that perhaps others either don't take the time or aren't exposed to or are not interested. And that's... You know, I love the fact that you just went to this conference. Let's go to David. David from Frisco. Good morning. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
So my wife, she's in her early 40s. She had hip replacement surgery just a few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago. We've had physical therapists come to her house. She's still laid up in her using a walker. But we've noticed that there's about an inch difference in her legs now.
Yeah, a leg length discrepancy, yeah.
Right, and it's laterally kind of distorted backwards, her hip. So it's further back, rotated, and then the hip, the leg that the surgery was on is longer now than her other leg. So we still have to go and see the doctor in about a week for the first consultation after the surgery. She's having more of a psychological problems with this because she's like, I went in because I was limping and now I'm even more distorted. I just wanted to ask, is this normal and is there anything that they'll be telling her she can do to kind of fix the length discrepancy just so I could ease her mind? Yeah.
Well, radio show. So we have a million disclaimers because we are disadvantaged because we're on radio.
Sure. David, quick question. Brad here. Hey, listen, how old is the individual who had surgery?
40.
She's 40. 40.
Yeah.
Yep. Hip replacement.
Yep. So I don't know how to tell you to reassure. I don't have any tools to throw out there to tell you to reassure your wife. I'm going to tell you what I would do. I would move up your follow-up appointment. I would not wait a week. I would move up and say, hey, look, this is really concerning me, and I need to not just talk to the PA. I need to talk to the surgeon who performed the surgery and say, these are my concerns. I have a leg length discrepancy. You know, my leg is now longer, and that bothers me. Why is it? Why am I disfigured? So I would not wait a week. That's what I would do. Not that there's a complication, but it you might want to hear the answers from the horse's mouth.
Yes.
And if it was me, I wouldn't wait a week. I would call first thing Monday morning and go see him and say, look, these are my concerns.
Yeah, and I think what Doc is saying is push the envelope a little bit right now and because you should be able to have answers. You know, I know that there's sometimes some of our patients may not want to ask questions and stuff like that. But no, you need to ask the questions and get your questions answered. And they should be able to address those questions.
All of my surgical patients have my number, all of them.
Okay.
And I tell them, if there's any concerns, call me. And you know what's interesting, David, is very few people abuse it. So when I do get a call on a Saturday or a Sunday, it's a real deal.
You know, it's real. Yeah.
It's real. Very few people abuse it. So what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to be so passive is not the word. But I don't want you to not want to infringe on the doctor.
That's his job.
But that's what we do. Yeah. That's our job. If your wife has concerns and she has unanswered questions, go see him. And again, I'm going to a couple of helpful hints. Don't see the PA. Yeah, right. Maybe the PA will come in early to see what's going on. But you want to know who – you want to talk to the person who performed that surgery, and if they need to do follow-up x-rays to make sure nothing is out of line, then they do follow-up x-rays. I would not wait a week.
And understand this also, David. It's none of this is in panic.
Yeah, no.
But here's the deal. Part of that visit needs to be, Doc, can you set the expectation of how this should be moving forward?
Yeah, my wife is concerned. One leg's longer than the other. Is this normal? What's the explanation?
Yeah.
Is it normal?
No. It's not. Okay. So and,
I mean,
and I'm trying to beat around the bush here, but it's not normal for a 40-year-old. So what typically happens when you have a arthritis of a hip is you have joint collapse. Okay, so the arthritic joint collapses, so that leg is shorter. And what typically we do when we do hip replacement is we restore the length. So
right.
it would be. What is normal is, hey, my left leg was shorter than my right, and now after surgery, they're both the same length, and wow, I'm really happy and excited. It's not what you just said. So, look, again, maybe this is a perception thing. Maybe what your wife is trying to describe is that it's longer than it used to be. And if that's her question, then the answer is yes, that is normal. But if it's longer than the other leg, yeah, that's not usually. Hang on, I have a question. Does she have arthritis on her other hip too?
No.
Okay, because I was going to say
injury. It's from a previous injury when she was, you know, like a toddler.
Yeah. Dysplasia or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we know it, and everyone's told us this is not normal for a 40-year-old.
Yeah.
So we've been through all that.
Yeah.
I just want to know: is there a fix for this without surgery?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know, because
what was going on before.
At this point, we don't know what this is.
Yeah.
So okay. I don't know if there's a fix for this, because I don't know what this is. But yeah, look, if she's okay. concerned and you're concerned, go see him sooner rather than later. It's not infected. It's not an emergency. But if she's concerned, we have slots in the day for that. Absolutely.
Okay, I didn't know it was that concerning until this phone call, because every time we talk to one of the therapists or the nurse at the office, they're like, this is normal, just wait until the first post-op visit,
Let me make sure that I clarify my stance, because I don't want to create any panic in your household. Leg length is an important part of restoring leg length is an important part of a joint replacement, whether it's a hip or whether it's a knee. Restoring alignment is an important part of a knee replacement, for example. But the key word that I've used is you've restored the length. So it was short before, you've now made it equal. And maybe that's what your wife is perceiving is, hey, my leg, you know, I've had this problem since I was a toddler, and this leg was an inch shorter. Now it's back to normal, and she's perceiving that as being longer than it used to be. So maybe this is a perception thing.
I can tell you that's not true. It's actually been measured by a nurse and the staff. It is an inch longer.
Yeah, well, go get it. Tell them, hey, look, I'm concerned, and why is it an inch longer? We'll go from there.
Okay.
Now, don't start panicking about what the options are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not a panic thing.
Yeah, it's not a panic thing.
Hey, man.
I want an explanation.
Concern. Address my concerns.
Okay. All right. Good luck.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, we have to go on a little break. Inside Sports Medicine, coming back with the last segment of episode 738.